T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, my man, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. I am happy to be here with you after my two-day stint in, what, 3 out of 5 days over at Wrigley Field doing pre and post. There's some stuff that I would like to talk about tonight that doesn't necessarily have to do with the Chicago Cubs. Although we are going to talk a lot about the Cubs tonight. This hour is being brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall. So I'm Lawrence. This is my show. Here with you until 10. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can also text the show at 670-11 if you feel so inclined. The executive producer of the show is Herb Lawrence. Audio is being taken care of by my man, Eli Herskovich. Hirsch on Hoops, if you're down with the podcast. You think I'm kidding. I say nice things about you. I even said nice things about you on my podcast this week, The House of L. Just check it out. It's good.
So sweet.
You do good work. You do really good work. It's fine. So here's what we have coming up for you on the show tonight. Aaron Rodgers just got broke off. You talk about guaranteed money. Kirk Cousins kicked the door open, and Aaron Rodgers walked right on through. They're not calling it guaranteed money, but basically Aaron Rodgers is going to get $103 million between now and the start of next season. That's pretty much damn guaranteed. I'm going to try to reach up to my man Jim Ossarski, get him on, because now he covers the Packers, which is great for us because we had no reason to put him on other than that we liked him when he was in Cincinnati. And now he's in Green Bay, so now we can use him all the time. Oh, also on the show tonight, coming up in 15 minutes, Lovie Smith will be on the show. Yes, that Lovie Smith, the guy you
used to coach. If you'll let me finish.
I'm going to have that opportunity today to let him finish his answers or soliloquies. I'm going to try not to jump in the middle of his answers. This is not going to be me as Jack McCoy from Law & Order interviewing Lovie. I am not going to be, what was Tom Cruise's character in A Few Good Men? Caffey, Lieutenant Caffey. I'm not going to be Lieutenant Caffey. Did you order the code red? You're blank, blank, right, I did. How about the anti-Semitism in that Colonel Jessup speech? Who's going to protect us? You, Lieutenant Weinberg. What's that all about? Wow, we are 5 minutes in and the show is completely off the rails. But Lovie Smith is going to join us at 7:20. There's a lot that I would like to talk with him about. The Illini start up this week. The game will be here on The Score Saturday, September 1st. I know that Kirby is really happy about that. There's a ton of baseball stuff that we need to talk about as well. I know that the signal, like I can turn, like sometimes Kirby would be like, hey, do you want to turn the signal north? And I'd be like, yeah, let's turn the signal north. Sometimes we turn it south. We wouldn't turn it north. Man. I think the Brewers blew their chance. Now, they could. I am down for, I go on record right now, I am down for the Cardinals-Brewers wild card game. I'm down for it. I am here for that. But I feel like they're just kind of drift into the background. Missed your shot. Shoot your shot. Last year should have got Quintana. This year should have got Machado. Didn't do either one. And look where you at. Weren't they up on the Cubs like three games? And now they're really 5.5 behind? Cubs are like, oh, yeah. Hey, do you remember when we were the Cubs? That was awesome. How about we do that again? Oh, okay. Great. Let's go be the Cubs again. Pew, right past everybody. Done deal. I had a really good time over at Wrigley Field over the last couple of days, getting the opportunity to do the pre- and post-game show while Zach was doing play-by-play. Pat Hughes had a couple scheduled days off on the schedule. Like, I knew about this weeks ago. Zach knew about it weeks ago. I don't know why people were tweeting me last night, like, why are you guys being so secretive about where Pat Hughes is? We were saying it, like, every inning that he was off and he will be back tomorrow. And lo and behold, there he was, back. But it was really cool that I got to be there. Zach grew up in Queens, so you can imagine what it meant to him to be able to call a Cubs-Mets game. And I wanted to be in the house for that. That clubhouse is super chill right now. It's super chill. And why not? I mean, they had, going into the second game today, they had their tied for their best record of the season. But they're super chilled out over there. Can we talk about Anthony Rizzo for a minute? Anthony Rizzo's numbers in August are disgusting. Here he was kind of scuffling his way at the beginning. There's the back issue. He didn't feel right. He goes on the disabled list. You're not seeing the power for a little while. And then he just explodes. Starts to hit the ball. And then in August, it's been a crazy number. You're talking about a guy that's got like an 1100 OPS in August. You know what's amazing about your Chicago Cubs? Chris Bryant's still in Iowa. Chris Bryant hasn't played in, what, 7 weeks? He's still in Iowa. The MVP, the best player on your team, has been in Iowa or not playing. Meanwhile, Javier Baez is going to find himself in the MVP conversation. And I'm telling you right now, Anthony Rizzo is going to be in it too. When we look at the votes, and usually they go all the way down to like 25 as far as MVP votes, both of those names are going to be on that list. Baez and Rizzo. Oh, and yeah, our pitching's really bad. Our starters have been a mess. Let's make a trade. Let's trade for Cole Hamels. What does Cole Hamels do? Comes in here and has been lights out. Been lights out, come get some. And if it weren't for Daniel Murphy with the error last night, he would have gone deeper into the game. The dude has given up 3 earned runs since he's been a Cub. He is a .69 ERA. You know how disgusting that is? When we look back, if the Cubs end up going deep into the playoffs, they go back to the LCS or they go to the World Series. When we talk about this season and everything that's happened in the season, it's going to seem unbelievable. Think about it. So the Cubs went out and spent like $160 million on Yu Darvish. Did he pitch? A little bit, and then there was a thing in his arm and an elbow, and he didn't really pitch a lot. Man, that must suck for the Cubs, huh? Well, yeah, kind of. And then they also spent $42 million on Tyler Chatwood. So you're thinking you're 1 and 5 in your rotation, like $200 million wrapped up in those two dudes. Well, how did Chatwood pitch? Not great. He led the league in walks. Oh. Wait a minute, but the Cubs are in first place. Yeah, here's the thing about that. Yeah, they somehow just kept winning. Let me get this straight. The big name free agent that they signed and the other free agent that they signed really didn't contribute. Correct. And Anthony Rizzo kind of started the season on the disabled list. Correct. Chris Bryant went missing for 8 weeks out of the season. Correct. One of their best relievers went down. Brandon Morrow, the guy that they, free agent that they signed to be the closer, he got injured too, right? Yes. Oh, and the lefty guy that they added to the Dunsing, also injured. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, Addison Russell is going to get hurt, and it's not going to matter. What? Yeah, all of that stuff happened, and yet there the Cubs were at the top of the National League Central and going to the playoffs. There's still a few more games to go. I'm not going to go, there's a long way to go. It's not. It's not a long way to go at all. There's a few more games to go. But this has been remarkable because everyone was expecting something like this to happen to the Cubs at some point. Like, not every prospect was going to pop up and make everything better. There were going to be some injury concerns that went on with this team. And they all kind of started to happen. And Theo and the boys were like, nah, just trade for Cole Hamels. Do that. Just call up David Bodie. Who? Bodie. That dude. Call him up. Why are we doing that? Well, we need someone to hit game-winning home runs in dramatic fashion. Okay. Let's do that then. Let's call him up and let's see what happens. Oh yeah, let's trade for Daniel Murphy, the dude that used to kill the Cubs back in 2015. Yeah. Washington's going to be out of the race. By the way, they've kind of fought themselves back into the race. They're going to be out of the race. So they're going to want to trade guys, and pairing him up with Zobrist at the top of the lineup seems like a really smart thing to do. That's impossible. How's that going to happen? We'll do it. We'll figure out something to trade him. Wait, Murphy's never hit leadoff before. Doesn't matter. Just plug him into the lineup and let's see what happens. Oh, we're going to win every game that he plays in for the first week? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So wait, you said tomorrow the closer was hurt. Who's closing games? Well, Pedro Strop. What? Well, and if we need to, Jesse Chavez. Wait, he's not on the roster. Yeah, we're going to trade for him too. We're going to bring him in here, and he's going to help us as well. That almost feels like you built almost a whole new team on the fly. Yep. That's what we do because we're the Cubs. Think about all the impossible that had to happen so far this year. Who's Randy Rosario? I don't know, but he gets people out. So bring him in too. It's banana pants. Absolutely banana pants. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Chicago Wolves. Want complete flexibility with your ticket plan? The Chicago Wolves Flex Plan provides 10 undated vouchers at a discount. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for more information. If you'd like to text in 67011, if you got some thoughts on the Cubs, feel free. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the head coach of the Fighting Illini and the former head coach of the Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith, is going to join me. That's right, that Lovie Smith. Next on The Score. Glad that you are hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. There will be a lot of Bears conversation and some more Cubs stuff. People enjoyed me talking to myself in the last segment. Having a conversation with myself. I talk to myself often. Well, I'm talking to you, but you understand what I'm saying. We will talk Cubs a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers' big deal that he got. And I still have some thoughts on the decision to not play the guys this past weekend, which I will get to. But first, the Illini are going to play Kent State on The Score this weekend. And I was offered the opportunity to speak with the head coach of the Fighting Illini. And I was a little surprised that I was offered the opportunity. But I am very happy to welcome Lovie Smith onto The Score. Hey, Lovie.
Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm good.
Doing really well. How are you doing?
That's good.
Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Let's start here. The $20 million gift to the football program, what does that say about the support for your program?
Well, it says that there are, you know, of course, we have a lot of loyal people that love the University of Illinois, and they believe in what we're doing. And Chris and Dale Smith have both been friends to the program, have been supporting us in so many other ways. But, you know, as we start building our program, as much as anything, I mean, that commitment that we're showing to our players, you know, we're going to have as good a facility as there is in the country. And that kind of tells you the direction of our program.
How important was it for you? I saw you talking at Big Ten Media Days about the facilities and how you wanted them to improve. Getting something, a donation like this, what does that do for the kid who is deciding between Illinois and Purdue or Northwestern?
Well, I think, well, you just look at those two programs. Both of them have a new facility, a fairly new facility. Of course, Northwestern is new. And, you know, nowadays, it is visual with athletes. They like the nice, shiny whistles on different things. And for our program, when teams go out and they start visiting campuses, and, you know, now when they come to ours, they're going to be pretty impressed when they leave.
When you got hired at Illinois, from my experience of covering you at the Bears, I thought, you know, Lovey's going to win the living room. He's going to win the parents immediately because there'll be the name recognition, and I think that your credentials as a coach kind of speak for you. I was concerned about you winning over the kid. So I'm curious, when there's a young man that's in front of you, what's kind of your pitch? How do you sell yourself and the university?
Oh, I think the university, Lawrence, sells itself. There's no finer place to get an education than the University of Illinois. So that in itself, the reputation academically was there. The football part, when I was in Chicago in my time looking at the university, I knew all of the positives and just kind of wonder why we haven't been able to put together a consistent winner. But, as far as selling, you know, I don't do a whole lot of selling that way. We all have a history of how we do things, and guys know about your history a little bit. But our reputation is about building men. I think that's what we've done. And when we do have an opportunity to speak, you know, to parents, they want someone that they can trust, that has a plan for how the program will be run. And, of course, we have that. And it's me, but it's so much more than that. I mean, our staff, the coaches that we have, I mean, they have a similar background, and I know what they're going to bring to the table each day.
You always took a lot of pride in the teaching aspect of your job. What's the difference between being a teacher at the NFL level versus being a teacher at the college level?
Well, I don't think there, Lawrence, there's a difference at all. I think when, you know, we use the term coach, but I describe our guys, our coaches, as stern teachers. I mean, you have to be able to do the same thing. When I was in the NFL, I felt like I took a college approach to, you know, the fundamentals of football and what it really took to win. Now we of course get the guys at a younger age, but we're, you know, for the most part, we're teaching them the same way. We have a similar schedule that I've used my entire career. The only difference I've really kind of found from college to NFL is the time allotment. We have a lot less time, so we have to really be organized. And when we get in front of our players, we have to be on cue.
Yeah, I figured that might be an issue. You're dealing with younger brains, obviously, and guys that maybe don't have as much experience in techniques that you've taught. So when you get that raw talent, do you jump at the opportunity to try and take someone and bring them into your system and take that step from maybe it's just step A to step B and then seeing C, D, E later on in their career?
Well, that's how it happens. You know, we are getting the players at a lot young age, but we're getting an impressionable mind, and they're open to things. They don't have a lot of the answers when they come to us. And they come to you and say, hey, teach me what I need to know. And that's what you're looking for here. We're looking for raw talent. You know, I've always loved Lawrence guys with a high ceiling. And that's what we're getting as much as anything. And if you have good teachers on your staff, which we do, it's just a matter of time. We know the result. And it's a process. It's been a process for us. Of course, you know, everyone wants to win right away, but you have to build it the right way. And we've been building our program brick by brick. And year three, we should see some of those benefits.
Spending a few minutes here with Illini head coach Lovie Smith. The Illini are going to take on Kent State September 1st down at Memorial Stadium. So you can get the 11 a.m. kickoff. You'll be able to hear it right here on The Score on September 1st. I was on a flight to Canton to see Brian Urlacher inducted into the Hall of Fame. And while I was on that flight, I was reflecting a lot about your teams. And the thing that I wrote was that I felt like you changed the way Chicago fans look at the game. And here's what I mean, Lovie. The defensive aspect of the game, where obviously we're known in Chicago for linebacker play, hard-hitting, tough guys. But I feel like you changed the matrix of how we think about takeaways. And I remember whenever we would say turnover, you would say takeaway. So you were putting an onus on the defense and giving them credit for what they were doing instead of a mistake by the offense. Where did you develop that?
Well, it's kind of been a part of me most of my life. When we were in St. Louis, I know one year we had about 46 takeaways or something like that, but that has to be the mindset. And when I came to Chicago, I know Brian Urlacher was one of the guys that, you know, really kind of stressed it. It was a lot of that was kind of in place by, you know, by Greg Blanch and some of the guys, good coaches that they already had, Dick and different guys that they already had. But that's the only way you can look at it. When you're on the defensive side of the football, you can't just wait for the offense to turn the ball over. You have to be aggressive in your approach. And once guys get that mindset and they know that, yeah, there are interceptions that kind of come your way, but most of the time there will be a ball carrier and you have an opportunity to get the ball. And if you have that mindset and you get the guys to get in a position where they are attempting to take it out each play, it'll come out.
And we saw that even in practice where that first year, we're seeing guys pick up incomplete passes and stuff and run them back to the end zone. And we're going, why are they doing that? And then, looking back on it, it all kind of makes sense. Was that part of the training of getting those guys in that mindset of every time that the ball is out, there's an opportunity for us to make a play?
Well, I can see, Lawrence, you were really paying attention back in those days. That's definitely what we were trying to do. Again, the mindset. You know, first off, on defense, just like on offense, it's the score. And you keep training your body for that. So every time the ball's on the ground, it's just another opportunity to recover a fumble. And when you get the ball, of course, you should think about getting the ball in the end zone. So, yeah, we tried to do that back then, and that's what the mindset hasn't changed any at all. Our guys, to a man, will defensively tell you that emphasis is still placed on it. And in time, guys really do buy into it, and that's when you start taking off.
What's it like for you to work with Josh Whitman? Because I think you guys are a pretty good combination. Here's why. He's very extroverted. He's got a lot of energy and he is not afraid to show you. You're a little bit more introverted. And I actually think that pairing works, but ordinarily it's the other way around. Usually we don't really see the athletic director and it's the head coach that's kind of the extrovert, but you guys are doing it a little differently.
Well, I just know that, in order for you to have a great working environment, you have to have a guy that you feel like a partner to you, that you're both on the same page with everything. Josh and I did our research before this marriage began. And also, he knows the game. You know, Josh was an excellent, the NFL tight end, excellent football player here, great student here. So, when we recruit, a living example of what we want in an Illinois athlete, of course, is Josh Whitman. And to be able to work with him and for him to be your boss and know what it takes to get it done is pretty special.
How do you feel about the rivalry with Northwestern?
Well, before we can become a rival, we need to show up. And but it goes back a long ways. When you have two state schools, That's always neat. And, you know, two Big Ten teams also. So it's good. You know, again, we need to, you know, do our share to make it more competitive than we've done in the past, and that's what we're working toward.
Why did you think that it was a really smart move? And I'd love to know the growth that you've seen on your staff. You've made a couple of changes on your staff, but I would love to know when you were looking to make a move at OC, what you saw from Rod Smith that said, this is a guy that I'm ready to promote, and here's why he can do the job.
Well, Lawrence, I think when I did make the decision to go a different direction, I'd been doing my research, but when you start really looking, statistics kind of tell you an awful lot. And where Rod Smith was, his offenses were tops in, you know, one of the top offenses in the country. And running the football, scoring, you know, things that are pretty important. I got a chance to meet Rod. Of course, our philosophy is jail. Talked to a lot of people, and everything said the same thing, and that was we want Coach Rod Smith on our staff here, and Rod has done a great job. You know, he's working with, you know, we have youth. We are, of course, excited about our graduate transfer quarterback, A.J. Bush, but we have a lot of youth at other positions, and, you know, Rod's an excellent teacher and just excited about what we're going to see offensively from our team.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go back to the theme of teaching for just a minute. You brought Bob Babich on your staff, made him D.C. What was it like for you to see him on the stage inducting Brian Urlacher into the Hall of Fame?
You know, a lot of, you know, emotions that go through your head. I mean, two of my favorite people on the stage. Kind of start with that. And as a position coach, you really get close with, you know, the guys you coach. Bob is an outstanding football coach in every way. Of course, he developed so many of those players. And at the time, I don't know if they knew it would end up in, you know, it would end up in Canton. Had an idea of that. But and it is just great for Brian to acknowledge to it, too, like he does everybody that he's around. So special time for, of course, Chicago Bear football, but for Brian and, of course, for Bob, that's how it's supposed to end.
When I was asking you about the turnovers and you teaching, I'm sorry, takeaways. When I was teaching us about takeaways, I kept thinking a lot about Charles Tillman and his argument to be in the Hall of Fame. Like you changing our perspective on it, I feel like Charles change the way that we look at the cornerback position and takeaways specifically at that position, where it used to be, well, if a guy isn't a 8, 9, 10 interception guy, then he's not doing his job at the corner. But you have Charles knocking the ball out, ripping the ball out, and I wonder how that makes you feel that will lend a lot of credence to his Hall of Fame credentials.
Well, Lawrence, I think when you looking at whether a person goes into the Hall of Fame or not, you have to look at what have they brought to our game. Have they brought something unique, a unique talent to the game? And have they done it as well as anyone that's played the game? I think, right, when you talk about, okay, you say, you know, guys, you think about taking the ball away. Who were some of the all-time greats that take the ball away? Almost to a man, Charles Tillman's name is going to come up in the conversation. No one bought into taking it away the way he did. And every time when he was around the ball, that was his mindset, getting the ball back. So when you're the best at something that changes football games, you should be recognized that way. Again, Charles Tillman did something that no one, as well as anybody that's played the game. So you have to, he has to come into the conversation for that reason. I'm going to say the same thing about Devin Hester. When you're the best, there's a punt returner in the game of football. And when you're the best to ever play the game at that position, naturally you should be in the Hall of Fame. So there's a few guys, of course, from that team we can push. That's for another conversation, but both of them should be in it.
When it comes to your staffs, you've always reached out and brought in new talent from different areas. How would you advise young coaches of color or women that want to get into the coaching ranks of football to stand out and get recognized and join a staff like yours?
Well, I think first off, we just need more people of color that want to be coaches. And it's a process. You know, I, for one, I believe in hiring young coaches and giving young people an opportunity. And I think people in positions to hire young people should consider it too. I mean, I don't think it's by chance. You look at our staff, we have a lot of diversity on our staff, and that's a plan for it to happen that way. But I think if you're young and you're a young person of color and you have a good trade and you work hard, people would notice that. I mean, it's a different day. People would notice that, and you'll get that opportunity.
One more thing for you about I want to talk about the Illini. I'm curious, what's your pitch to a fan base that is desperate for a football winner? Like the Illini fans that I talk to on the Score, they want this team to win at football so badly. How do you convince them to hang on through this process?
Well, I think if you're a football fan in general, you know that sometimes everybody wants a winner right away. And you have to have a commitment to build a winner. And if you look at our University of Illinois program, I know there has been a commitment to me from the start. And when you have people like Chris and Dale Smith and so many others that with their financial support say, hey, I believe we're heading in the right direction. When you have an athletic director like Josh with vision, and you just have to stay the course. Things don't happen overnight. You know, I have a lot of grandchildren, and every one of them we kind of wanted to run right away, but they had to crawl, they had to walk. You can't skip a step. So that's what I would say to the fans. Thanks for being patient, but this is year three. We're going to start to see the benefits of what's been going on behind the scene. And if you just look at our program, from facilities to our team, I think you're going to like the direction we're heading in. And in time, we're going to be competing for championships.
How long are you going to keep the beard?
Beard's a part of me. I don't do things. You know, normally when I'm committed to something, I'm committed to something. So my wife, Marianne, of course, loves the beard. So, you know, a happy wife, you know, happy life. So we're going to keep it.
I like it. And it's great because, Lovey, I'm not as young as I used to be. When I first started covering you, I'm not. So I got a little salt going on in my beard, too. So I'm glad that you're out there representing with kind of the Santa Claus beard, because us guys that are getting older, we need a role model. And you're being that.
Well, you're right. I am getting older and I am embracing that. I want to be in the best shape of any 60-year-old. There he is out there. And in case people don't really know how old I am, I figured his beard would give him an idea about how old I really am.
And then when you go into the weight room, you can impress all those young guys by how many plates you're putting up.
You know, absolutely. And that's, you know, something, of course, that we stress an awful lot of. Proper nutrition, just taking, you know, being healthy, living a healthy lifestyle. I live a healthy lifestyle. And looking forward to living for many years, just kind of based on that.
Lovey, this was a lot of fun for me. I appreciate you. My mother said to me, she's like, I really want you and Lovey to be all right with each other. And I was like, I think we're okay. I think that now I'm not yelling at him in press conferences. Everything is fine.
I have a short memory. All right, it was good talking with you today, though.
Thanks, Lovey. I appreciate it.
Take care.
That's Lovey Smith, the head coach of the Fighting Illini. They start the season on the Score Saturday at 11 a.m. They will take on Kent State. Back after this on the Score.
Oh, Lawrence.
I've always loved Lawrence.
See, things have turned around with Eli pulling out the scalpel and cutting that up. Finally, we'll get a new drop in there. It used to make me so mad. They used to get really mad in press conferences. When my fellow brethren in the media would laugh after I'd ask a hard question and Lovey would give a weird response, it used to make me furious.
Can we get an example?
The Lawrence thing.
No, one of your questions that he didn't approve of.
It wasn't him like disapproving. It just, you know, like if I had an issue with strategy or brought up something that was uncomfortable for the room, like, why'd you call that play, or why are you hemming and hawing about who the quarterback is? Stuff the fans were talking to me about. Like, I took that very seriously. Maybe too seriously, but when I was covering the team every day, I took very seriously that I was up there representing Bears fans. And my job was to ask tough questions occasionally and get stories and hold people accountable to stuff. Just because my question made you uncomfortable, why you gotta laugh and give them an audience? Jerks. But that was fun. I was glad we got the opportunity to talk with him. I'll bring back, there's a lot of good stuff that he said about, you know, the Bears teams that I want to bring back a little bit later on in the show. There's some Bears stuff that I want to get into as well. So, what, you know what? Why not just do it? Let's just do it now. Jim Ozarski is going to join me at 8:30. We'll talk with him about the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is real rich now. Got that guarantee. Got that buy an island money now. I was asking Herbie and Eli, if you had the bleep you money, where would you move? And I was honestly shocked that you said New York. What is it about New York? It's like, that's where I'd want to go.
The big city.
It's a big city.
Yeah, I know it is. It's a bigger city in New York. Times Square. And again, the Brooklyn part of it. Chicago doesn't have that second tier city. I'm not saying Brooklyn is second. Well, it is second tier to New York City. But I would love to have that extra part.
It's a borough. So
don't hate.
I mean, you're saying it's a different city. I'm saying it's a borough in the city. That's like saying that, oh man, that South Side, it's a great city.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay, you say so. But Aaron Rodgers got looted up, and we will talk with Jim Ozarski about that. You just want to be closer to Mad Dog. That's all that is. That's really what this comes down to. I listen to Hit and Run. I know what you guys are doing over there. It's your weird show. It's your weird good show. So the Bears will play their final preseason game tomorrow night. And I have to tell you, I do understand Matt Nagy with this long-ass preseason. It feels like the Bears have been in training camp for 3 months. It really, like, it feels like they have been prepping for the 2018 season for a really long time. So they'll get out there and no one of note, maybe Roquan will play, we'll see. You would think that you would want to, for a guy who hasn't played football in 9 months, that you'd want to get him a little bit of football in before you play against the baddest man on the planet. But whatever. I noticed that in the conversation about, and we had the story, it broke Friday night on our show, about the Bears sitting the majority of the starters in last week's game. And we had a lot of fun with it. We were joking around. Apparently, though, You have to be staunchly in one camp or the other in this conversation. And I would warn people that if you're already standing for Matt Nagy and the Bears, that's a bad sign because he hasn't done anything yet. And I don't mean to say that he won't. I actually am fairly confident that he knows what he's doing. Fairly. But I'm still looking for evidence. The same way that I'm still looking for evidence on the quarterback that everyone seems to be real comfortable with saying is going to be good. Instead of, let's see how things go. Here's my argument. I understand that the Bears have had a lot of practice, and they've probably had, the only team that's had as much practice as they have has been the Baltimore Ravens. Because they're two teams that started enough. But when I hear Matt Nagy talk about, well, we've had 2,000 snaps in practice. You know who else has had 2,000 snaps in practice? Everybody. So you saying that to me as if that is a way for me to, well, they're practicing hard. We have to stop looking at the Bears in a bubble and stop acting like they're the only team that's doing things. But they're practicing hard.
Yep.
In every other NFL city, their coach gets to go out and say how hard their team has practiced. The last guy, well, two guys ago, was talking about great practices all the time, and you laughed at him. All I'm saying is that whatever standard you have for the Bears and Bears coaching, you need to apply it fairly and objectively as much as you can. And I know that I'm asking a lot because you're a fan and you're just excited and you want to see the Bears do well. We all want to see the Bears do well. But if I would have told you that that soundbite came from Mark Trestman instead of Matt Nagy, you would have been dying to call up this station and rip it. If I told you in year two of Mark Trestman that that was his approach to it, you'd be like, that is crazy. Those guys need to play. Here's the other thing about that argument. Because I saw a lot of pushback on Twitter from people who cover the team, people who cover the league. No one, not the staunchest, hardcore, old school guy, was saying that Matt Nagy should have Mitchell Trubisky out there for 60 snaps on Saturday. It doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. It doesn't have to be they're not going to play in the preseason. And that makes all the sense in the world because you have to worry about injuries versus grind them into dust in the preseason. It's the only way that you can make them tougher. I will say, I think that there is value to live reps, especially when you're talking about a new coach and a quarterback who's new to a system. If that makes me a football Neanderthal, great. I happily wear that title. But this complete buy-in to everything that Matt Nagy says, because he said it, is ridiculous to me. If you want to argue the merits of, look at all the guys that got hurt in preseason, they're being overly cautious. Cool. That's a solid argument. I disagree with your argument. We're not that far apart. But I disagree with your argument. And that doesn't mean that the people who do disagree and thought that it might have been beneficial for a new offense and a new coach to have live game reps with their young, still hopefully ascending quarterback is crazy. And I've already seen the same people that defend Nagy on this lay the groundwork for, well, everyone thought that they're going to lose to the Packers anyway. You've already laid the groundwork for if it doesn't go well on September 9th. I see what you're doing. You've already laid that groundwork. You've planted your flag right there. So, no, this is not evidence. If they do play poorly, this is not evidence that they needed to play during the preseason. Gotcha. Yeah. You've already laid the groundwork. I get it. I see what you're trying to do. All I'm saying is please try to hold, just because it's the new guy and you're like, man, fresh ideas. We've never seen anything like this, except you have. And it wasn't that long ago. And if it was that guy who was telling you this stuff, you'd be killing him. Mark Trestman changed around the locker room. Offense and defensive guys. Everyone should be together. It shouldn't be in position groups. Killed him for it. Matt Nagy does it. Oh, man, this is fresh. This is such a fresh way to think about football. Mark Trestman tells you all the great practice. We had a great, remember that? Remember that nonsense that you get from Mark Trestman? We had a great week of practice. Matt Nagy is telling you that a practice that you really haven't even seen, and people that I've gone down to Bourbonnais and watched practice with and you're telling me that the practices weren't great. You're willing to now go, no. Great practices. These guys are having great. Nagy said it. He said that they were having great practices. Be a little bit more discerning. Just a little bit. Don't take what he says as gospel. He is, and I want you to understand, I understand that when I get into something like this, that my tone sometimes connotes that I'm angry. I'm not. All I'm saying is, let Nagy prove it. Let him prove it before you buy in. The buy-in is fine, but let him prove it. I had a guy mad at me on the text line earlier because I was talking about the Cubs being 24 games above 500, having the best record in the National League. And he's telling me about the record, who they played, even though we're like 30 games away from the end of the season at this point. Meanwhile, that same guy is a dude that's like, oh, got to believe in Nagy. Got to believe in Trubisky. What's your evidence? Joe Maddon has a track record. What's your evidence on Trubisky or Nagy? You don't have any. And yet you are buying in like nobody's business.
Play quarterback in the Arena Football League, man.
I'm not here to slander his resume. I think that Matt Nagy is going to be a good coach. But I don't have any evidence to support that. And there needs to be some questioning that goes on. Because I don't want to open up the phone lines on Monday the 10th and you all are surprised that something bad happened to him. Well, what were they doing in training camp, Lawrence? They were practicing. They got in 2,000 good snaps. Guess who else did? Everybody else. 312-644-6767 is the number. Back after this on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.